presence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so highly, anointed, appointed I might be. This is That All That Podcast featuring Kyrie.
Welcome back to another episode of the All That Podcast. This is my first episode that I'm recording for season 4. So my man here, you you are the first. So guys, I'm excited about having my next guest on, Mr. Warren Carlos. You are a Renaissance man, I guess I can say. I can't even box you in and say that you're, you know, one thing or another, because you do so many things that we will get into. I mean, where we are right now is Avant Media Institute, which is your doing. Beautiful facility, by the way, guys. So you have a audio studio, you have editing rooms, you have the podcast room, which we're in right now. You have all kinds of things, you know, a waiting area. That's nice. You
have good coffee.
Good coffee, guys. Look, I don't even drink coffee, but this coffee is good. It is called Slow Drip. And you see the Texas, you see Texas, it's Texas coffee. So support Slow Drip. You know, I'll put it somewhere in my Instagram handle, you guys, but I'm telling you. And it's less sugar than Starbucks, right? Oh, yeah. Less sugar than Starbucks. So, you know, for you health freaks, bam, Slow Drip. All right.
There you go. That 9 hours.
All right. So I kind of alluded to, you know, the institute that we're in right now, but you also are owner in Club Clay, which I'm sure all my Houston listeners know. I'm sure you've been had a good time. You're in the insurance business. You just do all of these things that I think is amazing. So, but I kind of want to, because we all have a starting point. We all have a point where we started. So did you always have this entrepreneurial spirit, or was it something that pushed you into it, or what?
Yeah, that's a good question, and thank you so much. I appreciate all the, you know, the good gestures and good vibes coming through here, Kyrie. You know, that is a very cool question, because I think it's important for people to understand that not everybody is an entrepreneur, or not everybody's born an entrepreneur,
right?
Even though some people will say that, but it's just kind of like, you know, marketing material.
Right.
for me, on my personal level, it was just I knew you always wanted something more, but you just couldn't define it. So I wasn't able to define even entrepreneur or anything like starting businesses like that. I just knew I always wanted more. I was working in the industry when I was about 17 years old, waiting tables, bartending. Originally, I'm from South Texas, where it's like really, it's you kind of like there's not much opportunity, right? That's why I got into the industry. From the border with Mexico, it was very violent, very crazy stuff going on there. So at 18, I moved out of my house and moved to Iowa, somewhere I've never been.
Wow. Iowa. Okay.
I've never been to Iowa, and all of a sudden, I'm in Iowa just playing soccer over there. I dropped out of college at the same time that Kanye came out with, you know, college dropout. So these kind of things are like, you know, and then I ended up moving to Houston, just packed my truck one day and got a job the next day, just moving here, worked 3 jobs, tried to go back into school. It wasn't really my thing. And then, you know, got into the industry, bartending everywhere. I was in the industry for a very good amount of time, so I network a lot.
Right.
I know a lot of people in that sense. and by the time 2011 came, I got tired of my own shit. You know, I was like, man, there's got to be something else, something different. I said, I need fucking discipline. I need discipline.
It's the biggest thing. I don't mean to interrupt you, but discipline is the biggest thing. Like, even if you are super talented, right? I feel like somebody who is marginally talented but disciplined can surpass somebody who's really talented but lazy. because discipline is... that is the key, and I'm glad you brought that up. It really is the key, and what I'm finding from what I do is that, you know, you wake up in the morning every day, and I used to get frustrated with myself because I would be more disciplined when it came to my 9-to-5 than I was for my stuff. So I'm like, I'm rushing to get up at a certain time to go work for another man. But when it comes to my business, I'm like, oh, you know, I can do it here. I can do it there. So I just had to throw that in about discipline because it's very important.
Yeah, the discipline. And I said, I need to get my ass kicked.
Right.
I did. And I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? I mean, I'm taking a vacation from my vacation lifestyle. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, what the? So I completely went, you know, the opposite way, 180 degrees. From living this freedom, good life. I mean, very nice. Have lots of fun, lots of parties, lots of good times. And I said, okay, what's next? I went to oil and gas. Would work offshore. Mm-hmm. Would work in heights, ropes, like completely opposite, like hands-on.
Yeah,
you know,
completely
like
different
filled
from the bartending.
Home. Yeah, going all over the world, traveling, yeah. And it was a great experience. And it taught me a lot of like. You know, living in close quarters, wake up super early at 5 a.m., you know, like go for long periods of time, then not really knowing when you're going to come back. And, you know, you have a lot of time to think when you're in these places, right?
Right.
You're making money, but you're not really living life.
Yeah.
And so I had to ask a lot of questions. I read a lot of books. I just jumped into, like, man, I need to invest in myself. Like, you know, so everything from that. By the time I was 20, I was like, I never read books. I never did. If it wasn't on the homework based, but then after 20 something, I started. Mm-hmm. And a lot of personal development, just kind of like, there's got to be, it's a mindset thing, bro.
Right. It definitely is. So you had a corporate job with oil and gas, which many would deem as very successful, very stable, good money, right? You're in a great industry.
Before it was corporate, it was more hands-on.
Oh, like, you were more like, okay.
Construction.
But you were
work.
Still making some good money.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely.
Okay.
And then I went into corporate, yes.
Right. So at this time where you're first hands-on and then corporate, let me ask you first before I get to my next question. Did you have a family at the time?
Yeah. So I was married, definitely. So my wife and I, we were married. I didn't have kids until much later in 2016. But, you know, for those first 4 years, married with a wife, hot wife at home, you know, this kind of stuff. But we, you know, I can't blame, everything was pretty cool because we ended up living in Singapore. We lived there for 6 years.
I heard Amazing. Great things about Singapore,
Amazing.
By the way. I heard it's like very clean, no trash, no poverty.
Nothing. No, nothing.
Nothing, yeah. So, okay, from, even I have these thoughts myself, but I know a lot of people who, you know, were married or are married, and, you know, have kids, right? So you see, when you have that, you want to have stability, right?
Okay.
So most people would be scared or, you know, a little fearful to, you know, leave that and go strictly entrepreneur route.
Okay.
Because it's the world of unknown. Like, being an entrepreneur is like, you don't have set days. You know, you don't have a set schedule. You know, it's just all over the place. So did you have any of those thoughts? And secondly, when was the moment that you decided to make that jump?
There you go. You know, I was coming back to, I wasn't born an entrepreneur. It was just sort of happened. Mm-hmm. And the more I kept reading these books, the more I started like, at that point in time when I started thinking this way, I was like, I need to do something. I have invested some money. You know, we're traveling. We're living the world. I still don't have kids at that time, but we have mm-hmm. a wife. And I said, I want to be able to, when I do have kids, be able to raise my kids and be a part of their first 4 or 5 developmental years.
Right.
How do I do that? So I started investing. That's where I started investing in the nightclub. And I started investing here. You know, mm-hmm. I was overseas, you know, 12-hour, 13-hour different time zones, you know, and having to fly over here and close these deals, set these things up, do the marketing and like help with whatever, right? So that I took a huge risk and put a lot of money into jumping out there myself and just kind of like based on a lot of trust, mm-hmm. a lot of self-belief and a lot of like insight too is like a lot of people are going to tell you don't invest in the nightclub. You're not going to make your money out.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept hearing that. I was like, no, that's a bad mistake. That was a bad mistake. I'm like, maybe, but maybe not.
Right.
You know, I'm like, there's these other things that I've calculated. I'll take that calculated risk. And so all this entrepreneurial stuff really started coming towards me in 2016, oil and gas came crashing down. So my job came crashing down.
Gotcha.
That's what pushed me to the edge, to just go like, I got to figure some shit out because I'm not going to be, it's either you're an owner or you're a minion. Mm-hmm. And I said, where do I fit in?
Yeah.
So I said, fuck that. I'm not going to go work for nobody else. I got to work for myself. How do I do that? Just a lot of trial and error from here on out. It's just building up as we go.
Right. So my favorite book is The Alchemist, right? For those of you who have never read that, read it. It's and join Kyrie's book club. but when I talk to people, like I talked to my cousin last season, she's an entrepreneur, owns this business called Nap Bar in Houston. And just the theme of the book just keeps coming up in these stories because it's like in the book, it's like, you know, if you put something out into the universe, it will help you. It will conspire to help you achieve it. And that's kind of what it just came up again with what you just said, because you are already having a feeling inside of you. But maybe if, you know, the market didn't come crashing down, you might have stayed there. But since it did, you were pushed into what you ultimately were supposed to do. So I just had to shout out The Alchemist because it keeps coming up.
It does. And, yeah. You know, this is a book that I've probably read 5 times, and each time I've read it again, it's completely something different, and
something
I highlight something
time.
Completely different because I'm a new person every single time, right?
Every
it's just
time.
Like, how did not realize that back then when I read it? And it's such a subtle and good storytelling book, but it has so much depth in it. Paulo Coelho hit it great.
Yep.
You know, even his story of him writing that particular book of how the hardships he went through, and then boom, he hit it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a manifestation of its own self. And at the end of the day, the only difference between an entrepreneur, a successful one, and not is, I guess, the one who believes themselves and sticks through it no matter what.
Right.
It's just don't quit. If you're going to start something, don't quit.
Right. And I'm glad you segue right into where I was going anyway. So I feel like the number one thing that keeps people from working for themselves, like you said, some people are just, they like working for a company, which is fine. But I feel like a lot of people, you know, what stops them from making that move is fear. So, and you're going to mess up. Like nobody, Michael Jordan shot probably 3,000 game winners and he made like 1,000, which means he missed like 2,000, but nobody remembers that, right? So, but people are scared of missing 3,000, right? When in reality, it doesn't really matter. So how, as you, as an entrepreneur, how have you navigated your failures or some setbacks that you might have had on your road being an entrepreneur?
That's a badass question. I answer it with a question.
Okay.
So every single time, based on the Alchemist principle, it's, you know, turning lead into gold, turning shit into sugar. Every time something negative happens to you, you gotta trick your brain into thinking something else, right? So what's good in the situation? I learned that from a man, Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. jumping in there. Like, hey, something's not working out. What's not working? Okay, what can be improved? Okay, what can work? And what is good about the situation in front of me mm-hmm. is a very powerful question that I ask myself every single time if there's something that I don't have a solution to or if I have a problem or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I kind of question that always makes me stop, breathe, and think. And then the answer comes if you are able to tune in to yourself. You know, I know it's a little deep,
yeah.
But it's all about fine-tuning and, like I said, listening to your own voice and figuring out what that voice is. That's where it's at.
Right. So have you had any moments where you're like, man, forget this. Like, I'm going back to a regular job, a 9-to-5. Like, this is too hard.
Have I ever had it?
Yeah.
yeah, definitely life does bring you down to your knees a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a test. It's all a test. It's all a test of the commitment of the words that you said to yourself that you were going to do, whether you commit to them or not. It's all up to you. So at the end of the day, most people, they'll think of commitment as easy, but then when it comes to the doing it, then, you know, they retract. So it's like, nah, man, you said you were going to do something. Do it.
Right.
That's
period.
It.
Yep. See it through. So can you talk about the importance of having a team? When people, you know, people don't really realize that they try to do everything themselves at first, and like then they get overwhelmed and they ultimately quit, you know. So having a team is very important. I know that for myself, like, you know, with my show, having a editor, having somebody who sent emails out to guests, somebody, you know, who mark, you know, different things, because it takes the load off of me and allows me to do what I do at the highest level, which is podcast. So can you talk about the importance of building a team?
It's so important. And it all starts with building yourself up first. Mm-hmm. you know, so if you want to attract talent, you got to be talent. So it all falls back. If you see any of this that I keep going back to, is like, you got to be the team first, right? And then you start attracting those people. But you definitely need a team once you start hitting those different levels. And it's about interpreting at what level you're at, you know, because that's why they say don't compare yourself to others, because other people have different avenue routes, you know, different podcasts. Some work on YouTube, some work on Spotify, some work here. So everybody's about finding their own formula. And I think it's important for everybody to sort of find out that process, go through that chaos in the beginning. It's chaotic. It's just a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's about fine tuning. And those people in that team help you fine tune that, because your next step reveals that, who is my next team player? Mm-hmm. Who else do I need to hire? You know, when you started doing the podcast yourself, probably you're doing it yourself, your own studio, recording everything, editing. So you kind of had to learn the process right before you could hire that team. So you had to kind of like, not master it, but you kind of had to understand it.
Right.
And then you start realizing, okay, if I want to be able to reach more people, if I want to be faster, produce more content based on the stats that I'm hearing, and like I need to, now you're like, oh, I need to find an editor. Oh, now I need to find this, now I need to find that. And you start building these people. And these people that start being around you, that start sticking, these team players, not everybody's going to stick, right? But if you are talent and you are, you know, if you have this capacity, you're going to attract that. If you're attracting the wrong players, probably because there's something wrong at the foundation of who you are.
Right. Did you have any haters is not the right. I would say doubters, like from your family, friends, when you decided to do what you're doing and go the route you're going. Did you have any people try to talk you out of it, said negative things? And if so, how did you not let it affect you?
Yeah, I think when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. This is entrepreneurship. There's going to be a lot of doubt. It's going to be a lot of failures. I mean, you have to go through the failures. This is the only way to learn. You're going to have to withstand all those, you know, tides just blasting at you. The people that you think you would trust the most are not the ones that are going to give you the most confidence. And at the end of the day, like I said, it's just a test.
Yeah,
it's just a test of a voice. Of does your voice really matter in all anything that you say? Does it matter what everybody else says?
Yep.
What, you know, to some extent, you have to take the advice. Understand, you know, you can't prove them wrong. I mean, until you prove them wrong, then you know what I'm saying. It's that in between process where you have to sort of fulfill, and that's the most important thing. Is like, it doesn't matter what people are saying. Like, you know, you're focused. You're going to use that. You're going to be like, it's a mindset. And that's what I'm saying. It's a mindset. You use that. And I use that negativity. It's like, I remember when my uncle was a very good soccer player. Mm-hmm. Amazing. I was probably 13 years old, just getting into the rhythm of soccer, having fun with it or whatever. And we were just playing street ball. And he said after the game, he's like, dude, your shirt's too big in Spanish. It's kind of like, you suck, basically, right? I was like, man. This guy I look up to fucking just told me and shot me down. But he had a point. I said, no, he's right. Like, I could be a lot better. And so I use that in negative, you know, thing, because sometimes they see what they see, because it's not real you just yet.
Right.
But you have a vision of you that is so real, and it's up to you to create it.
Right.
But they can't see it yet. You know, you have to see the unseen.
Yes. Yes, faith. That's literally the definition of faith. Having a belief of things unseen. And so you also have to remember that, you know, a lot of people just don't think like that. Like, they think very surface level. So when you come with a big idea, with your vision, a lot of people are not going to understand. So you can't let that affect you because, you know, whatever your religious belief or you believe in God or whatever, he is the one that gave you that vision, not other people. So you can't let them detract you. So at the beginning of our conversation, you brought up how people were trying to talk you out of investing in Club Clay. And I was actually going to bring that up because, you know, most people would say it's kind of a risky investment. So what made you decide to, like, whatever, like, I know what I'm doing, like, I'm going to do this. What made you, what did you see in the business that attracted you?
Yeah, you do a checklist, right? I did a checklist back then. Mm-hmm. I said, what is, what's going on here? What's happening here? Who's the team behind it? Do I know the industry? What's, you know, what are the pros or the cons? But more importantly, like, do you know the team? Do you trust the team? Is it something that you can see yourself sort of building up to? Is this something that you can see yourself long-term? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl was coming. The team was on point. Yep. The idea was on point. Timing couldn't have been better. You know, it's just you seize the moment when you seize the moment. And did we get lucky? There's no luck in here. Like, you have to study all these things in order for them to sort of happen. And at that moment, at that right time, you're like, that was like a one in a million.
Right.
It really was. You know, it's like, I haven't heard of anything like that before for most people, you know.
Yeah.
You could ask 99% of the people, it's just for fun or just a play thing, but, you know, it was crazy. So, you know, you sort of hit the jackpot, and it's not by investing in the idea. It's about investing in the people who are running the show.
Right, right. So out of everything you do, I feel like, I do not know this to be fact. We haven't discussed this, but I feel like out of everything, this is your baby. This place, the Avant Media Institute, is like what you really gets you going. Like, not saying you don't love everything else, but this, mm-hmm. I feel like, is your baby.
Well, it's a big part of it, and it's yeah. helped me mold. So here, my business partner, his name is Ryan and Nancy. We've been doing this since 2014 and the 14, 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't take all the credit that this is my baby, because it's not, but it's something that's helped me build into production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multimedia, marketing, learning how to market. So I grew a lot by being here, by running like my own branding, marketing. You know, we're competing against like big time colleges with unlimited funds.
Right.
You know, so yeah, there is this proximity of like this having that sort of a feel, because this is like the nest of the other things that connects everything. So this is just a part of the thing that connects everything else together. You know, everything that I try to do is how do I connect everything that I'm involved with together and create like a new ecosystem,
right,
of a business. So yeah, back to your question. This is one of them. It's leading, but on the deeper level, it's more like of a branding aspect. You know, if I could do it, help it, a business like myself right here, if I can learn everything that I learned through these other things, then I'm able to help, you know, produce great, amazing content, give other people that, you know, so that's, this gives me that power, mm-hmm. and the talent of people, the creatives like Garrett behind right here, you know, Oscar running the camera out there, to create like a pool of people and create that team.
Right.
To be able to execute the strategies and all the good things that I do already and connect everything together.
Right. So you mentioned that you guys are competing against bigger schools with more funding, but you had a pretty cool moment that happened, which is HBO actually came here, not to those other schools. So can you talk about that and how cool that was to such a big network?
Yeah, it was... And it's going to come out. I'm not sure when it will come out, but it will come out in the next, in the near future, through House of Ho on HBO. That is also part of like a good network of mine that, you know, that I've been working with in a while, right? For, mm-hmm. for a minute now. And the opportunity came back. You know, all the stars aligned. He had some some things going on that made sense with what the scene was going to be shot here. And producers at HBO said, come on, let's go. Come over here. We had a whole squad of them coming through. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was pretty fun to see that. Not only that, but also, like, some of our students were able to, like, capture that experience and even get proudly rewarded because they saw how talented they were. So that was it was a win-win-win situation for the city of Houston, for Avant, for myself, my marketing agency, for House of Hope series. So I think it was a really cool combination and put everything together right here.
Right. What is your end goal? Is your end goal to be on a 400-foot yacht, you know, in Italy?
JC end goal?
Right.
Man, I don't think I have an end goal in that sense, but, like, at the end of my life, I just want to say, like, I was really old and took this sailing ship and said, fuck it. This is the end, but I've done everything else I could have done. It's time to go. But at the end of the day, the end goal for me is just like, hey, man, I have a success story. Like, this kid, this Hispanic kid that came from Brownsville, Texas, that was, like, college dropout, that, you know, had the whole world sort of going against him at all these points in time, and this guy was able to, like, withstand. Then that in itself, I that's the end goal, is just to inspire and just to hopefully, you know, leave a legacy for my kids to think. And that's the end goal at the end of the day for me, is just my kids. I talked about being with them for the first 4 or 5 years before they go into the school system. I read them a lot of personal development stuff, so it's really ingrained in them and their self-belief, because this was something that I was challenged a lot growing up, right? And I always think, like, obviously we all could have been more, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, that's kind of what had to happen. It's just like, man, I think the biggest impact for me has been to be able to just say that I was able to inspire in one way, shape, or form so that I could better the people I influenced.
Gotcha. Lastly, there is a man or a woman out there who's working a 9-to-5 right now, but has, you know, this fire burning inside of them to branch out and be an entrepreneur, but they are tinkering with the idea, scared to make the move. What advice would you give them?
If not you, who? If not now, when? If not this, what? Just think about it. If you don't think about it, and if you don't do it, it'll never happen, and that's your shot. It goes. That's it.
There it is. And also, if I could ask some advice, when you wake up in the morning, drink slow drip.
Get it going.
Facts. Thank you, JC, for coming on the show. Thanks for having me in this beautiful place. You can tell the people where they can find you, your Instagram handle, all that good stuff, if they want to hook up with you.
Absolutely.
All right.
I will.
All right. That is it for this episode of the All That Podcast. I will see you guys next week. Peace. Your talent is something to squander.